Time once again for a weekly conversation with Aaron Lee, Executive Director of Lanark County Interval House, as we continue our conversations that break the silence around intimate partner violence. Aaron, welcome back.
Nice to be here as always, Bob.
Today we are talking about the anniversary of the death of Carol Culleton, Anastasia Kuzak, and Natalie Warmerdam, who were murdered by a man who was a former partner to all and known to be violent in a triple act of femicide on September 22nd, 2015. Aaron, how far do you think things have come? And this is a very broad question. In that 10 years, like, there has been a lot of steps that have been taken.
Well, yes, I think that it's hard to believe that it's already been 10 years. So when I think about that in terms of the number itself, it feels a little bit ominous and heavy. But I think the reality is that, I think advocates have been working really hard. I think communities have been moved. And I think that one of the most significant pieces I would say that's come as a result of the triple femicide is that communities are now rattling, shaking, working, united with others, becoming their own advocates, attending more, and really asking what is it that we can do to make change or to contribute. And I mean, I think that we're really lucky here to have Pam Cross with us today, who, you know, is not only a colleague but a friend, and who has a wealth of knowledge and experience. She is a published author of a book called And Sometimes They Kill You. And Pam, what would be one of your major reflections when you think about 10 years ago?
I build on what you've already said, Aaron. I think since those three women were murdered, and in particular since the inquest into their deaths, which happened only 3 years ago, so we're looking at a sort of shorter time span there, the extent to which communities across Ontario have come together to engage, to say we want our community to be a safe place for everyone who lives here, and that includes women and children. The fact that we've seen the declaration of intimate partner violence as an epidemic in 106 municipalities across the province, many of those communities also embedding attention to this issue in their community safety and well-being plans. I think that's where I would start, because for me, real change doesn't happen when somebody at the head of a government or a corporation or whatever says, we're taking this seriously now. Yes, we need those voices, but we need it really to come from the ground up, from the grassroots up, so that everyone in a community is engaged. And that's what I've seen happening.
I think, too, one of the biggest things that we've seen in Lanark County in particular are the visual representations, the mosaics, so that it's not just a matter of an intangible conversation. We have these physical representations, like the one that's been here in Perth for quite a while, to really keep it in the conversation. Aaron, would you agree?
I would absolutely agree. I would say that working with Redefine Arts and creating the Women's Monument and the three pebble mosaics in our community is an opportunity for people to gather to reflect. You know, where you want to be quiet, but you also want to reflect and think about what's happening in your family, what's happening to you, and how you can be part of the solution. Let us not forget that it's really important to acknowledge the work of the media, especially in local communities. And certainly with MyFM, you know, dedicating 86 weeks of radio time to talk about each one of the recommendations was a remarkable way for local media to ensure that the conversation kept happening in community, so your listeners could learn more about the recommendations and knew that MyFM is dedicated to making sure that this doesn't stop because the inquest is over, because we've hit a milestone, because we've hit a particular anniversary. It doesn't stop. And I think that, you know, a culmination of those things, more conversations at County Council, the See It, Name It, Change It campaign, conversations happening province-wide, I think are really moving communities to no longer tolerate what they're being told, right? And what they're being told is that, we're going to take a hard approach and a law and order agenda. And then they're hearing from community that a law and order agenda is not actually going to make a safer community. It's not going to help people heal. That's not what we need. And then they're hearing what we do need. So I think that that makes it really interesting. Pam, you do a lot of work across the province and across Canada. What is your sense of what people are really hopeful for or what people are working on currently as a result of the inquest and beyond?
I think one of the big things that communities are working on is finding ways to collaborate better than they have in the past. Stop siloing the work into, oh, we work with victims, oh, we work with perpetrators, oh, we work with children. We all need to work together. And I think there's a really important piece of that that came out of the inquest. Certainly, the five members of the jury often commented on how siloed some of the community services seem to be and how that left women and kids at greater risk. But one of their recommendations was that in Ontario, the Information and Privacy Commissioner should create a tool that would help people understand just what information they're allowed to share. We have all this privacy legislation, and there's good reasons for that. I don't want what I tell my doctor to wind up on the nightly news, for sure. But I think people often have misunderstood that legislation to think they can't ever share any information. So we have this tool. This is one of the few recommendations from the jury that's actually been fully implemented. We have a wonderful tool now that empowers people in communities. And I think that encourages stronger collaborations because, say you're working with a survivor, Erin, and I'm working with a perpetrator. I need to know what's going on for her, and you need to know what's going on with the perpetrator so that we can create something that's safe for everybody in that family.
Collaboration and communication were two of the themes that came up, I would say, more than any other over the course of the 86 recommendations. The communication part, I mean, that's everything from different departments of the justice system working together to the police working together in the early times of an incident. Have we seen that kind of improvement, Pam? I'll ask you first. Do you think we've seen any improvement when it comes to that, intercommunication between the stakeholders?
I think we are seeing that improvement. It's slow. Any of these things are slow. These are big systems that are very used to doing their work the way they've always done it. I think related to that question, Bob, is the fact that we're seeing more police forces and more media outlets using the language of this was an intimate partner violence incident or this was an act of femicide. So a willingness to acknowledge the reality of what's happening. I've seen a couple of situations where the local police and the local shelter gave a joint media conference after the death of a woman. I think those are really important messages for people to hear. We all have our mandates. We're always going to disagree with one another, for sure. The purpose of the police is very different from the purpose of the shelter or the sexual assault center or whatever. But that doesn't mean we can't also come together in a way to say we have our differences, but our ultimate goal is safety.
Aaron, I'll get you to comment on the same thing as a stakeholder in a different part of the system.
I would agree with Pam, and I guess what I would add is that, 6 years ago, we launched the Victim Advocate Program in our community, for which the OPP has recognized and presented us with an accolade award. And I think that it's about finding the common ground across our systems and looking at ensuring that victims are at the center. And if we work with victims at the center and we focus on that and we work our way out from it, we can find common ground. Our community is a community that's discussing restorative justice practice in IPV. We're not implementing it. We are discussing it because we're preparing for the future and thinking there have to be other ways for us to get upstream and address prevention issues and look at alternate ways because we know that the system is broken. We've seen that and we've seen it recently, and I won't open a can of worms here on that particular issue, but we need to look at alternatives. So I think in our community, we've been really fortunate to have relationships. And I guess that's one of the things for me when I think about collaboration, creative partnerships, all of those pieces. It's really about relationship building. It's about building trust across systems because, we all know that, anti-violence advocates and police have never been pals. And so that's okay. We don't have to be friends. We need to find common ground. We need to be able to work respectfully with each other and alongside victims. And so also in our community, we have survivor forums where we have survivors actually talking to police services, justice partners about their experience in the system and what went wrong and what went right in a manner that helps fortify the systems to modify the way that they're approaching the work. Those things are really significant for our community. We still got a long way to go, all of us, in terms of the work we're doing, but relationships have been significant and such that, people like Pam Cross get asked to go and do judicial training. People like Pam Cross get asked to do events with the OPP. I am going to do a presentation with the OPP general headquarters to all 70 of the domestic violence investigators from across Ontario. So we are, for lack of a better term, we're kind of infiltrating their territory in the sense that we got something to offer. And finally, somebody sees that there's value in that. So that's positive, and we're moving in that direction. And I do think that, we need to recognize that the inquest did create a lot of that momentum, and the fact that this was an inquest that focused on a rural community and rural circumstances, which you never had before. So I think it's been significant.
Pam, I'll leave the final thoughts to you as we're just about out of time here, as we do approach the anniversary on the 22nd. Just what's going through your mind at this time?
It's hard to believe that 10 years has gone by, first of all. And I think that's a good thing in a way because it means that the lives of those three women are still very much with us as we look ahead to the work we need to do in the future. For me, as we move ahead, the big word is accountability. We need to create structures like an independent IPV commissioner or commission, let's say. That's independent from government, that can comment freely on how well government is doing at following up on promises it's made, at implementing recommendations, whether those are from an inquest or from the Domestic Violence Death Review Committee. That's what I want to see, so that if we come back in 5 years on the 15th anniversary, I'd sure like to see that we have that commission in place and that it's performing that function.
Aaron?
I agree 100%. I think that accountability is a huge issue. I think when I think about accountability, I also think about figuring out how to fortify the hundreds of recommendations that have been made from prior inquests from the Ontario Domestic Violence Death Review Committee, of which Pam and I are both members. How do we foster some sort of environment where there's some sort of accountability mechanism so that those recommendations actually have a little bit of meat to them in terms of requirements for ministries and folks to consider those and to consider the implementation process, because it's a lot of wheels that are spinning. There's lots of murders and femicides. There's lots of recommendations that have been made that I think are still worthy, are still valuable. There are still lots of survivors out there talking about their stories from 40 years ago that are still relevant and still have merit today. And we need to change that landscape, and accountability is a huge proponent of that.
Aaron, as always, thank you very much. Appreciate this. We're going to pause our conversation and resume it next week. So I look forward to that with you. And Pamela Cross, Canadian feminist lawyer and women's advocate, thank you so much for joining us. I have a feeling you'll be visiting us again in the future.
I hope so. Thank you very much.
I'm Bob Perot from MyFM and 92.3 WOW FM.